Thank you very much. That was a stimulating lecture with a lot of very, very challenging ideas connected together. Time is over for you now, if you'd like to ask any questions. Stunned. Yes, over here.
You mentioned the some arguments coming up against neo-Darwinism. Perhaps a couple of questions. What sort of proportion of the scientific world are starting to move in that direction? And from that, are there foresights of movings in the horizon that other scientific or pseudo-scientific explanations are perhaps starting to emerge, like the slime coming up from the great sea of the past?
Yeah, an interesting question, but a difficult one to answer. I think in terms of the biological world, there's very little movement. It's very, very difficult for anybody that's in public employ to come out in the open and say they don't believe in Darwinism, because they'll lose their jobs. There are lots of examples of people who've lost their jobs for saying anything in support or anything even vaguely critical of neo-Darwinism. Michael Rice, the education spokesman for the Royal Society, you probably heard. He's an evolutionist, he believes in evolution, but he made some remarks to the effect that creationism ought to be discussed in the classroom simply from the point of view of refuting it. He was forced to resign for simply saying that. So the funding of biologists, their funding, their status in their departments, most of the departments are called evolutionary biology or evolutionary genetics or whatever, and their ability to publish their research depends on their adherence to orthodox neo-Darwinism. And I think there are quite a number of people who are simply keeping their heads down and saying, okay, we don't understand where this is going, but we're certainly not going to be the first to put our heads above the parapet. Now, outside the biological world, there's much more freedom, and that's why I can talk about it without losing my job, because I'm not a biologist. Outside the biological world, there's much more freedom, and there are ID movement, particularly centered on the Discovery Institute in Seattle, is very popular. They have a list there of 600 or so well-qualified scientists who are questioning neo-Darwinism, and there's been a torrent of books published, not so many. There are articles as well that have been published, but there's quite a lot of books that have been published critical of neo-Darwinism. So there are slight signs, but you know what happens nowadays is nothing much happens, and then sudden things happen very suddenly nowadays. You know, there's a sudden crack, and the whole thing collapses. So maybe that will happen, maybe it won't. I don't know. Now you had a second bit to your question. I've forgotten what that was.
Take its place.
I think so. Yes, I mean, belief in aliens and so on is certainly on the rise, isn't it? Particularly promoted by TV programs. And I think the other side of the coin is that interest in the occult and in supernatural phenomena of one kind and another is tremendously much on the rise. There's a sort of God-shaped space in people, and if they're being told that conventional religion is no good, it's been disproved and so on, then they go to the other extreme and they start looking into spiritism and the occult and so on. So I think there's a big interest in those sorts of phenomena, and of course I mean the Harry Potter phenomenon and all this interest in the what's it called now? All these this vampire business. I don't read any of those books, but I see them on the shelves. What's that called?
Twilight.
Oh, you would know, yeah. What is it called?
Twilight.
The Twilight Zone, that's it, yeah. You know, enormously, enormously popular. So, yeah, there is a downside, well, another side to the coin.
Any other questions?
Professor, you're telling us that God, the Christian God, I presume in your own belief, has created us through the information in DNA. Am I right so far?
Yeah.
So that intelligent designer has created a back that is redolent with problems because of our bipedal gait, has created a narrow birth canal in relation to our big brains, through which, in the undeveloped world, sadly, yet many millions of children and their mothers die every year. Are you really sure that that's evidence of an intelligent designer?
Well, you know, books on evolution, books on neo-Darwinism are absolutely full of supposed bad design. If you look at that book by Jerry Coyne that I mentioned, he spends chapters talking about supposed bad designs in nature. Some of the supposed bad designs have turned out not to be bad designs after all. But you see, God didn't necessarily have only biological efficiency or physical efficiency in mind when he designed. He had other purposes in the designs that he made. For example, he wanted to promote things like love. He wanted to promote things like beauty. He wanted to promote things like humor. And so some of the things that are labelled bad designs may well have been there to promote these other things instead of just simple biological efficiency. That's one thing I would say. And of course the other thing I would say is that I've said nothing about the problem of evil in the world, because I'm not a theologian, and I would have to go along to... I would have to go along to theologians to ask them to talk about this. But most Christians, anyway, don't believe that the designs that we see now are the perfect designs that God started off with. There's been a lot of degeneration as a result of evil in the world. But that's a theological problem. Pardon?
I can only hope you never have a bad back.
I have had a bad back. I've come through it, and I hope you come through yours.
Anyone else? Yes, at the back.
I think lest we throw out the baby with the bathwater, I put in a defence here for the scientific method. I think the way the CERN chaps and the Grand Sasso Laboratory chaps have dealt with their faster-than-light anomaly is a textbook example of how to deal with stuff you don't understand. And I think there's an openness. There's an openness in particularly the high-energy physics lot that they don't really know what's going on, and they accept they don't really know what's going on, and it's all jolly exciting, and we get to play with all these fantastic toys in Switzerland. And there's a certain kind of humility which is almost an inverse proportion to how much money gets spent on it. I think one of the things that I'm hearing from you is a request for that kind of humility from evolutionary biology departments in university. Mm-hmm. Just a wee acceptance every now and again that they might not know everything.
Mm. Yeah, I can only agree with what you say wholeheartedly. If only molecular... Well, if only evolutionary biologists would back off a bit from, all the ridicule, all the derogation, and so on that they show. They seem much more interested in tearing down, in ad hominem attacks, than they are in looking for the truth. Now, of course, the reverse side of that coin is you only have to go to some religious websites and you'll see equally bad things being said about Darwin and neo-Darwinians. So I wish they would stop that as well. However, the point is that you know, when I became a scientist, when I was a young man and became a scientist, I became a scientist because I liked the fact that science was objective, that science set aside emotions to one side and looked carefully and objectively at the facts without letting human emotions play a part and sway you one way or another. I really liked that about science and still do, but it seems to me that's all going out of the window now. And these new atheists are not interested in finding the truth. They're just there to defend, to win the argument and to defend their point of view, irrespective of what the evidence is. So I find that sad, and I think that's a betrayal of science. So it's worse when scientists do it, I think.
If there aren't any more questions, it just leaves me to say thank you, Professor Walton, for this excellent lecture tonight, for all the time you put into it. When we see the quality of the PowerPoint that you put together, we realize that this is quite a mammoth undertaking that you've done, the preparation for tonight. And I think the good news is that for those who want to hear this lecture again, it's going to be available through the CREEF Seventh-day Adventist website. If you have a look on that site, it's simply creefadventist.org, and you'll see under lectures and events, and that will be uploaded pretty quickly from what I understand, along with the PowerPoint for tonight. So let's say thank you to Dr. Professor Walton, and we'd like to welcome you to have some refreshments afterwards with us. Thank you. Okay.